I delivered you from slavery in Egypt by an outstretched hand or arm. Remember that. Now here's how you are to live. When Jesus, just before he was about to die, he gathered his disciples around the table. He shared the Passover with them. Then he gave them the new interpretation of the Passover. And what did he say? Remember me when you do this. Remember, this blood is the blood of the new covenant shed for you. This is my body broken for you. Remember. You got to remember as you go forward. And so Jude does the same thing to this young church. And he says, remember. But what does he emphasize? Now, I don't have time to just take it every piece apart, but there's one part that just leaped off the page to me. He says, remember, beloved. You ought to know me well enough now to know that if the word loved or beloved comes up in the scripture, I'm going to find it, or it's going to jump off the page at me. We already had it this morning. Beloved, see what love the Father has given you. Beloved. We sent the children away. Beloved. What does James do? I keep doing that. What does Jude do when he's closing his letter, which has been difficult? He says, remember, beloved. Now, some Bible translations say, dear friends. The word can be translated either way, but I prefer beloved. He uses it four times in this scripture letter. He uses it in verse 2, then again in verse 3, in verse 17, and in verse 20. At the beginning twice, and at the end twice. Bookends. You got to know who you are as you go forward. You're the beloved. You're special. Beloved. I can't say it often enough. Loudly enough, beloved, you're loved. So as you go forward, it's kind of like we did years ago. The beloved can go forward and two people know. I thought we learned that, Barbara. We taught them. Beloved, fear not. Why? Because you're the beloved. That's why you don't fear. You're loved. Beloved, says Jude. Dear friends, beloved of God, no matter what difficulties are going to come, don't forget you're beloved. There's going to be pitfalls. There's going to be ditches. There's going to be stumblings. There's going to be sore toes, sore knees, sore faith. But you're the beloved. You're the beloved. So as we go on our journey through life, remember, you're beloved. Aaron and I went on a caravan to Alaska a few years ago. And it was a 63-day caravan tour with some of our best friends that we had not yet met. And we met them, and together we traveled for 63 days through Alaska. One of the amazing things about this trip was we had a wagon master, that is, we had a leader. And the neat thing about this, having a leader, is before a travel day, if we're going to have a travel day, whether it be 75 miles or 300 miles that day, the night before, he would gather us all in a big circle. He would usually draw us together with a potluck, something to eat, because we'd want to come. And then he would say, now turn in your travel log. And we had this book, a binder, I don't know, 2.5-3 inches thick. And in that binder was a trip log for each day. Sometimes it was many, many pages. And so at the beginning of every morning, when you leave the campground and you pull out, the last thing you do when you pull out of the campground, you set your trip meter. Then you open your log, and that log will tell you things along the way to be alert to. For example, it'll say, at mile number 23.3, there is a series of road heaves. be prepared. You know what road heaves are? In Alaska, that's where the ground freezes and then makes the road go like this. Well, if you're going along in a motorhome or a car and you don't be aware of a road heave, you wish you had. So at that mile, there's a road heave. And then it'll say at 28.9 or 38 point whatever, 72.6, there's a railroad track. There will be no notice given to it, but you be alert because it is a horrible railroad track. You can only go at 15 miles an hour. And when you come to that track, you know, thank you, Jim, for the alert. Because you see, if you're unaware and you hit that railroad track at 60 miles an hour, you very well may be in the ditch or break a spring. It's true. So we're very thankful for the road map, the trip log. And that's what Jude has done for the church. He said, this is your road map. This is your trip log. These are all the things that are going to happen to you. They're all on the way. And then he says, and the apostles told you. You were told. You've been forewarned. Now pay attention to all that I've said. Then he goes on. Remember, dearly beloved. Remember, you're loved. So, for us in the caravan, what that meant was, if we didn't pay attention to the log, and we hit a dip in the road and damaged something on the rear end of the motorhome, that forced us to go to the side of the road, remember, you're beloved. Because the tail gunner's coming behind you. You're not going to be left alongside the road. The tail gunner's coming. He brings up the tail. And he ministers to all those who are left alongside the road. You're beloved. People of God, as you and I experience in our life what the apostles said would happen to us, remember, you're beloved. You're not alone. He who's gone before us has laid out the trail. He's laid out the markings. He's told us. So don't be surprised when they happen. Pay attention. And if you stumble, the tail gunner's coming behind you. Your sisters and brothers are there. The Holy Spirit is coming. He's here. Remember, you're loved. And I can't say that often enough because we live in a scary time. Some of us talk about it, and it is scary. But we're the beloved. Then notice what he says. But you, beloved, but you, beloved, what does he say? Build yourselves up in the most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Okay. Build yourselves up. Or, as others translate it, building yourselves up. Building, that's a present tense. As you're building yourselves up. Notice the contrast. Just before this, and I didn't go through them all because I heard them. Before this, he talked about the apostates. What do the apostates do? Well, he said it here. He says, the scoffers and the apostates, they have ungodly fears. And what do? They divide you and they separate you, cause divisions. But you build each other up. We strengthen each other. We don't split. We don't divide. We don't argue. We may have strong disagreements. We may have opinions we share, but we don't divide. We're not a wedge. We build and we strengthen each other. But you, brothers, building each other, building. What is that? That means it's ongoing. You're never done. You're building. It's ongoing. Then he adds, yourselves. Now, I just want to emphasize a word there. Yourselves means you got to do it. Building yourself. I'm not going to build you. She's not going to build you. He's not going to do it for you. You've got to be involved in the building yourself. It's an activity that you must be engaged in. Then you'll notice as well that it's plural, yourselves. So I build myself, you build yourself, together we're building. We're building together. And if I'm building and you're building and we're building beside each other, then we're building together. Build yourselves up. Nobody can do it for you. Think of this. How many of you have believe that exercise is good? You all do, all right? All of you, now I counted, I have this ability, what do you call it, picture ability, photographic memory. I got all of you. I know who you are. So I'll tell you what. Tomorrow, I'll do your exercise for you. One happy camper amongst all these. Yeah. I can't exercise for you. You have to do it. But you know what I've learned? And Will, I know you've been involved in this. And Brent, if he's here, I don't know if Brent's here. But I can't see him. But anyway, you've run marathons, right? Now, who ran it for you? Nobody. You did it. But I never ran a marathon, but I ran 10Ks. And I found that if I practiced with somebody else, I was encouraged. It supported me. And I remember the last 10K I ran, I probably even told you about it. It was the Boulder in Colorado. And I wanted to quit. And my running partner, with whom I had practiced and got built up, my running partner, Bruce, he wouldn't let me quit. Come on, Tom, come on, you can see the stadium. Come on. He pushed me and he coaxed me. And we did it. I needed somebody with me. That's why the apostle says, you're responsible to build. And you help each other build. You do it together. That's why this church has said, our vision statement is to what? To be about building together and individually. But as individuals, we join together and we build courageous, authentic Christ followers. People who will walk with Jesus Christ. You know what? You can't walk with Jesus Christ alone. It's impossible. Because you join all who walk with him. And so he says to us, build together as you move forward together. Now, the next question might be, well, how do we do that? He answers that question for us, too. He says, you, dear friends, build yourselves up in the most holy faith. And that's what we've talked about. That's what we're contending for. Build yourselves up in the most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Keep yourselves, how do you do it? You keep yourselves in God's love. It's imperative. It's an imperative. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. Imperative. And it's a present form of the imperative. It means to say you keep yourself always, presently, in God's love. How do you do that? Well, you put yourself where you expect God's love to be. We used to have a dog. His name was Buddy, big German shepherd. And when I would get on the lawnmower and mow the yard, Buddy always wanted to be there when I mowed. And he would come out there, and the craziest thing this dog would do, he would pick up a tennis ball. And he would take that tennis ball, and he would put it right in front of where I would be mowing. And there it is. Now, I'd have to get off, pick up the ball, and I would throw the ball. And he would run and get the ball, and I'd jump on the mower, and I'd be making a big circle. And here he'd come. He put it in the next line. I had to get off. He didn't put it 3 feet over. No, right there. He put the ball in the line where he knew I would be. That's what the apostle is telling you and me. Keep yourself in God's love. You know where his love is going to be. Put yourself there so you get run over with it. How does he do that? Well, our confessions tell us, our catechism tells us, that we grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ when we make use of the means of grace. What are the means of grace? Well, the first one is the preaching of the Word of God. Put yourself in the preaching like you are this morning. Don't be absent. Be present. And if you can't be present, be online. But put yourself where the preaching of the Word is. If you want to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, be present when the sacraments are presented. When the Lord's Supper is given to you, it is God saying, He's jumping right in your path, and God is saying, I want to show you a visible demonstration that you can touch, you can smell, you can see, you can taste, that you are my beloved. So when the sacraments are served, be present. You're putting yourself in God's way, in the way of His love. When there's a baptism, and it's announced in the bulletin, in such and such a week, there's going to be a baptism. Do whatever you can to be present. It's God again saying in a visible way. He's teaching us a spiritual message that's eternal in scope using everyday physical means. You are my beloved, as small as you are. I love you. You put yourself in the path of God's love. And I ask, do you frequently put yourself in the path of God's love? Another means of grace is the fellowship of the saints. When the gathering of God's people, His family, come together, that's fellowship. It probably has nothing to do with cookies and almond bars. I mean, it's nice if they're on the side, but that's not what fellowship is about. Fellowship is about the togetherness, the sharing of heart and mind, the body of Christ that unites us. Do you put yourselves in the way of fellowship? Do you create fellowship groups? Do you participate in a life group? That's fellowship. That's where the bond of the Spirit comes. Jesus Himself said, where two or three are gathered in my name, what? I beg your pardon? You can say it louder than that. He is there. Boast about it. You get together in your small group and say, welcome Jesus. He's here. You know, that's how you grow and you keep yourself in the love of God. And then He says you pray in the Spirit. You pray in the Spirit. He's not talking about talking in tongues. He just told you, Jesus told you, where two or three are gathered together in my name, what? There am I in the midst of them. How does He come present? Through the Holy Spirit. He comes in some manner different when we're gathered together than we're all by ourselves. Something is different. He said it. So you pray together in the Spirit, waiting on the Spirit to instruct you, to prompt you. In the Spirit. Reading from the Word of God, which is the primary tool of the Spirit, and letting that Word of God lead you in your prayers. Therein He comforts us. He gives us the power to stand. That's why often when Aaron and I pray with anybody, we always hold hands. Because that touch reminds me I don't stand alone. You help me stand. Not only intellectually, physically. Because the Spirit is there. And so this morning, I thank Joel for his prayer. He prayed as an elder for us. Gratitude for those among us who are serving us, that we might all be blessed. Where is prayer at the life of the church? Do you have a prayer groups? I noticed in the bulletin, there's other documents you have. I'm well aware of that. But Erin pointed this out to me. She says, you know what? Honey, I don't see anything on the bulletin where it lists a lot of important things. But I don't see anything that says prayer team. You got to put yourself in the way of God's love. And that includes, says the apostle, praying together in the Holy Spirit. Praying. I'm so glad this morning, Joe, you prayed for the pastor that God has already selected for us. He's already determined. Have you been praying for that person? Individually. Collectively, are you doing it? You ever come up away? Elders, you ever call the people apart and say, you know what? Tuesday morning, 7 o'clock, those of you who aren't at work and so on, we're going to meet together and we're just going to pray. We're going to pray for the new pastor. We're going to pray for this sister in our congregation. You ever do that? Elders, if you don't have anything on the agenda, do you come together and say, well, then we'll just pray. We'll just pray together. We'll do anything else. We'll just pray together. We'll limit ourselves to an hour and a half of prayer. That's putting yourself in the way of God's love. And if you don't do it, you're missing out. You know what amazes me? Well, you've told me this, but it amazes me because I wasn't here when it happened. But you've told me, so many of you have told me this, and you have a right to tell me this, how amazed you are that you have this new church building. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. And then you say, you know what, not only do we have a building to glory to God, you say, and it's all paid for. Whoever thought in 2 years we'd have a building and have it all paid for? It's amazing. Yeah, that's what you tell me. It's amazing. We never expected it. Wow. And you know what? You started another building. What kind of God is this? He's an amazing God. Now I'm going to ask you this hard question. Are you praying as a congregation, elders as leaders of this congregation, are you praying to God Almighty, what shall we do with this building? It's yours. You gave it to us. What do you want us to do with it? Is it enough to come and sit here on Sunday morning? Does that please you? We'll meet you here next Sunday at 9:30, Lord. Until then, we'll keep it cool. Are you concerned about that? You should be. He gave you a tool. You should be concerned how you're going to use this tool and whether you will use it to the fullest extent for the glory of this amazing God who gave it to you. See, you got to put yourself in the way of God's love. We got to keep doing that, says Jude. And then he says, and as you are waiting, you're praying, and then he adds, and as you are waiting, pardon me. And as you are waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes I have this issue related to my surgeries that causes me to. And that's what's happening. But it's done. As you are waiting, says Jude, for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. As you're waiting for the mercy. Are you putting yourself in the way of God's mercy? That's what he's saying. You're waiting for it. And as God's mercy comes, are you ready for it? You know, mercy flows. Mercy flows. It's not a stagnant pond. It's a flowing river. We say that. We quote the scriptures and we say, God's mercies are what? New every morning. They're a flowing river, says Ezekiel. They flow like a river out of the temple of God. And the further away from the temple it goes, the deeper and the richer and the fuller it is. That's the mercy of God. The psalmist said in Psalm 46, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God or the people of God. It's a river. God's mercy is a river. It flows. It moves. And the effect of God's river of mercy, it gives mercy, and those who receive mercy become mercy givers. You remember this song? If you know it, I'm going to try and sing it. But if you know it, you got to help me along because, you know, I got problems. So remember the song? I even said it a few weeks ago. I've got a river of life flowing out of me, makes the lame to walk and the blind to see, opens prison doors, sets the captives free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Rise up, O well. Rise up, O well. It's a river. It's a river of life. And you know what? When you get in that river, you're going to get wet. And you're going to drip with grace. And you're going to drip with mercy. So that whenever you touch somebody, they're going to get wet. Because you're wet. That's what he's talking about. Get in the way of the river of mercy that Christ is sending and that Christ is giving. You know, I was taught that. We sent out Cheryl, you know, and Tammy to teach our little children. I remember as a little kid, I was taught about the mercy of God, that it was a river. We used to sing, deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. Deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. It's flowing. I was taught that. I still remember it. Some of you started to mouth the words too. I remember standing before you in the old building and I sang to you a song from my childhood. And I said, it's bubbling, it's bubbling, it's bubbling in my soul. They're singing and laughing since Jesus made me whole. Folks don't understand it, but I can't keep it quiet. It's bubbling, 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 bubbling day and night. See, it's a river. As you wait for the river, then you become a mercy giver as one who's received mercy. Jesus taught that. Jesus said, I'm not going to tell you the parable, but you know the parable. The parable of the servants and the one servant who was forgiven 10,000 talents worth of debt and he refused to forgive somebody who owed him one denarius of debt. And Jesus punished the one who would not forgive because he who is forgiven is expected to forgive. He who receives mercy is expected to give mercy. And so we reach out. We stand in the river of God's love, the mercy. We get all wet in it. And then he says, Jude says to us, extend mercy because you know. Extend mercy. How do you do it? Be merciful to those who doubt. On our path together, some are going to be doubters, and it may be you. Don't scoff at them. Don't laugh. Reach out to them. Walk beside them. Snatch others from the fire and save them. Some are really stumbling and tripping. Don't run from them. Get down on your knees and lift them out of the gutter. Lift them out of the place of pain. Get down there with them. You've been snatched. Snatch another. And if it's too close to the edge, then reach out your hand to your sister back here. And sister, you reach out your hand to another sister or to another brother, and we'll make a chain of hands so we can reach into the deepest pit and snatch one out. Because you see, what we're about as the people of God, we're about building courageous, courageous, authentic Christ followers. Because you see, I was in that pit. And he sent somebody to reach me. Me. Now you do it for somebody else. That's what we're about. And that's where the joy comes. That's where the joy comes. When we see what God has done. And he does it through us. I didn't plan it. This just came to my mind, the joy. I had a phone call from a friend, and he said, I just got to tell you what happened. So-and-so received Christ. You got to know he received Christ. And then he said, because you're a part of it. Thank you, Mike. Thank you. That's the joy. The joy comes when those who've received mercy freely extend mercy. That's when the joy comes. And then he concludes by, he says, now if you're getting afraid, if this bothers you, if it's too risky for you, and you haven't got the courage you prayed for yet, then he concludes by saying, now to him who is able, now we're looking away from ourselves, to him who is able, the one who is able to keep you from stumbling, to keep you from falling off the track, from embarrassing yourself, to the one who's the only Savior, there is no other Savior, to that one Savior, the one Deliverer, to that one we're going to give praise, you know, to that one who does all these things. Remember the song, I think you sung it here, we saw it on the television, Chainbreaker. If you've got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a waymaker. If you need freedom, he's a prison-shaking savior. If you've got chains, he's the chain breaker. To him who is able, he's the only savior. To him. We give praise and glory. The one who's able to present you with all your faults, with all your stumblings, he is able to present you before his heavenly Father in great joy. And I read that this week and thought, for the first time it struck me, who has the great joy in that passage? I thought it was me. I don't think so. I think it's Jesus saying, Dad, look what I brought. Look who's here. Look. With great joy, I see the smile on his face. I hear the tones in his voice. I see the tears on his coming down his cheeks. Presenting me, presenting the believer to his heavenly Father. Without spot. In a robe of righteousness. Pure. Undefiled, unstained, unmarked, pure before his Father in heaven. Oh, that's an explosion of praise that follows. Listen to him. Listen to what he says. If he's talking about that, he says, to him who's able, to him, the only Savior, the only God, to him be glory, majesty, power. He can't say it enough. It's an explosion of praise. Can you lead us in an explosion of praise? A song that's favorite to you? Yeah? Look at that. When he came to church this morning, he didn't know that was going to happen. But he's got a song of praise. Listen to it. Amazing grace, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? I want to challenge you to be a volcano of praise to the God who died for you. And if there's anybody here today who has not received the name of Beloved, you can have that name today. Jesus Christ died on the cross that you might be a child of God, forgiven of all your sins. That's what that cross is about. That's what that song is about, that He died for you. And I invite you to receive Christ today as your Savior and Lord. You can come up and talk to me about it afterwards. I'll be here. That's fine. You can talk to anybody around you. Anybody around you who's a believer will help you pray and receive and give your life to Jesus Christ. It's not difficult, but it is something you do and become beloved. Beloved of God. And so we sing and we pray and we praise God. Be exalted, O God. Be exalted above the heavens. Let thy glory be over all the earth. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be over all the earth. King of kings, Lord of lords, glory, hallelujah. That's our Savior. And He calls you to remember you are His beloved. As the worship team comes up to lead us in a song of exaltation and praise, I want to just pray to God that He would receive us and touch us. Lord God, we thank and praise You for the morning that's been ours, the way we began in triumphant gladness, O God. We came before Your throne of grace and we prayed. We've received the Word of God. And now, Lord God, send us away. Send us away in exultant praise, lifting up our voices, raising our heads, and giving You praise. Send us forth, O God, as we praise You. In Jesus' name, amen.